The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 597. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Coming in right on time, Mr. Brett Murdoch.
I'm going to draw King of the Pirates.
There you go. Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we have returned, and we have the entire squad here, unless Adam decides to show up.
Squad!
Yeah. Good stuff, man. All right, we're not going to waste any time, and let's get into it. Questions, baby. We're going to start off here with Jam XM Rhesus. His first question is about the most controversial game of the week, Wolverine.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Why does it seem like Eastern game developers have more respect for gamers and gamers' intelligence, unlike Western developers with their yellow paint hand-holding approach to game design? Seeing the Wolverine gameplay on Twitter made me think of this. We will answer your question, but we're also going to use this as our platform to talk about Wolverine. Because obviously more things have happened since we talked about it on the Thursday show, you know? I have noticed that. Like, it really seems like Eastern developers, like, there's probably exceptions, but they tend to respect your intelligence more than the Western developers. Because I'm talking about the big AAA Western games. That, you know, there's plenty of Western games that don't hold your hands, right? But the big AAA ones, they're generally games made by committee. You know, they got to check a bunch of certain boxes. One of those has to be, don't make this shit too fucking hard. You know, we want people to beat this game. So that's one of the reasons why. Again, there are difficult Western games, but you're never going to see a AAA game that's brutally hard, you know, from a Western developer. You'll see it from the East. What happened, Brett?
I have a theory here.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
I think it's more culturally acceptable to be stupid in America.
I mean, that is something. Remember back in the day? You would be in school and shit, you knew the answer, but you would keep quiet because you knew if you get the answer, oh, you're a fucking teacher's pet and you get your ass beat. So there's truth to that, you know?
Well, that's okay. Let me put it this way. The Cuphead tutorial bullshit would have never happened in Japan. Somebody would have thrown themselves out the window first.
Oh, man. Brett, you unlocked...
They would not have filmed themselves failing that terribly.
That is true. That's 100% true.
Yeah, they would have, like, you know, like, if it was a publication, like, they probably wouldn't have shown themselves, like, struggling at it. That doesn't, to be honest, that doesn't do anything to sell a game.
No. You know? It just makes you look like a clown. It just makes you look
silly. So, like, to be honest, that guy should have never have done it. If he wasn't that good at it, just leave it alone. Just show some fucking...
Takahashi.
You know, just have... Hey, you know, because you obviously have a guy who probably in the back that probably plays these games. You just let him play through the title, and you just talk over.
Competence in the name of accessibility.
Yeah. Remember fucking Arthur Giles from Polygon? He's playing Doom 2016. With the first fucking level, right? The first thing you do, you get up, you start shooting zombies. He's missing the fucking shots. You know, so you're right. It's like weirdly more acceptable here. And that, by the way, these examples we're giving you are from 10 years ago. It's gotten worse, you know?
It's the reason fighting games have simple control, control by default.
Yeah, that's my biggest issue with Tokon, by the way.
Yeah, and that's not the only one. The Invincible mode. Does the same shit too. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to sound like I'm a gatekeeper or anything. Like
no,
that,
you should gatekeep. We need to fucking gatekeep. I'm tired of this shit.
I would want things accessible to be able to want to jump in, because I definitely understand that these things are intimidating. But man, the Tokon game looks beautiful. Love it. Looking at it, but my God, it's just like playing a dumb, like a stupid mode, like fighting game. And none of these fucking FGGC guys are even fucking talking about that shit. They're just like, oh, well, this is how you do come.
You know what's crazy? Not to go too off topic, but it's still on topic. You're saying this, right? And Manny, you know, you and I are not top tier guys, and we're saying this shit. One of my coworkers, he couldn't make it past the tutorial. He's like, this shit is too complicated.
What the fuck?
So you're making games for people like that. That's what's going on
here. Even the Dragon Ball Z one is a little bit like that, but not nearly as bad as this one. I mean, again, like I'm sure if the moment I say that on a fucking Twitter, like hey, you've never played a fighting game before. This is where they've been. Anyway,
yeah, clearly, man, he's never played a fighting game.
But yeah, I think that illustrates the right point. You're saying this shit is baby mode. One of my coworkers couldn't make it past the tutorial. It was too much for him.
And which one is baby mode just allowed by default on online?
Here's the thing. Like basically, if you hit the attack buttons, you know, nonstop, you'll get a combo. Yeah. The thing is, that combo will not deal as much damage as you doing it yourself. You know, okay. I believe. Yeah. So that's the trade off. And obviously, if you're a newbie and you go online, you're going to get your ass beat by an expert guy. That's just going to happen.
So it's like, in other words, like there's this one, it's like a four hit combo. You just keep pressing. I think on PlayStation, it's on the triangle button. You keep playing that one. It does like a few hit combo and it does a super move.
That's a super move. Yeah. The thing is you're not going to deal as much damage. And obviously you can't do like frame traps or infinite loops and shit. So that's that, but the point is, like you said, Brett, it is more accepted to dumb shit down here, you know, whereas over there, it is not. Over there, you're shamed for that, you know? But you know, regarding Wolverine specifically, yeah. So we've seen, here's the thing. We've seen the fucking tabletop boss battle. I like to call it, but the thing that people are really harping on, I mean that people are harping on that as well. It's the fucking chase scene where you see these like this red trail leading you to the enemy. It seems like you can't turn that off, you know. Go ahead.
So you to go into that, like the one part of that is that the original like X-Men Origins Wolverine game did have something like that. He had like a like high sense mode, right, where you press the button, the game would turn like sepia, right, and then you would see like. You would see the smell trail. It was a red smell trail, and the whole background was like black and white. And then you would follow it to a certain point. You could still see it, and then it would like fade off. So it just gives you a hint of where you need to go, and then you just keep, you know, you keep going.
Yeah, but in this one, it's for a chase. That original one never did that because it's there to help you along the way. It doesn't even turn sepia tone. It's just like you can see everything clearly. It's just here's a red trail for you to follow so you don't get lost. Even I'm like, it's a pretty linear path you're going on. You cannot get lost here. You know,
something similar. I can't remember. It's like they would give the character like because you do it for when you fight Gambit. But Gambit in that game has these little like glowing like ends on the, you know, because he's the stupid movie Gambit, but he has these little glowing ends at the ends of his staff. So to figure out where he went, you sort of like just follow the trail of his green, his purple like energy that's on his staff. So it's a diegetic thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because remember, even that game was also triple A. You know, they kind of had to help you out a little bit. Because remember, this has been going on for a while now.
That game had stuff like the, you know, the either the white edges or the glowing edges, like when you think you could climb, like the God of War games used to have. It had that mode where again you high sense mode, and then you could see where you need to go in the environment or important things. You know, they would glow.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett.
Hit mode.
Can I propose a new definition or name for these types of games?
Uh-oh, baby games?
I want to call them Tunnel of Love games. Tunnel because all they do games. Is strap you in a cart, put you in a tunnel, and then get you high on your own heart farts for 20 minutes.
That's funny.
I mean, like, the thing about it is it's like, it obviously is meant to be a light experience. Like, I think that's a lot of AAA, you know, like the really surface tension, like Spider-Man. There's that game... You can get your ass whipped, but it's not like so difficult to where you just like, you know, like it's not so difficult where you just like do it. I think it's just meant to be more of a light experience.
But I mean, it's still supposed to have some game in it, right?
What was that?
It's still supposed to have some game in it, right? Or have we kind of just abandoned that?
Definitely is supposed to.
People are criticizing that part too, because somebody showed it. They were showing that sequence. They were literally just holding up the whole time. They didn't have to do shit. Just hold up. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to do. And we've seen a lot of games like that.
So, yeah. So he's like, so in other words, he not only does Wolverine have a giant like stink trail that follows the guy that you're chasing, but he's like an endless runner. So you just press up and he automatically just runs in the direction
and jumps over shit automatically.
Unironically really have smell-o-vision.
Yes. But it's part of Wolverine's power,
It's part of Wolverine's power. And the way they did it in the original game was, again, it was like a hint giver. So you hit the high sense mode, and then you could see what things you could interact with. You could also see where the collectibles were in the environment. It was sort of like, you know, you press it once, you see it, and then you're like, okay, I'm good. I know where I need to go or where the villain is or somewhere.
Yeah, it's no different than Spider Sense or Batman Sense in the Arkham games.
In the Arkham games where you turn on detective mode. It's that same sort of idea.
Yeah, except the game slows down when you do those things. You're not running at full tilt. You know, detective mode, you can't really, like, as soon as you start moving fast, it kind of goes away.
Yeah, you can kind of play the game a little bit in detective mode.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, it's like it was never really meant to be anything that you just play the whole game in.
No. Go ahead.
I think one of the issues is that it happens during a chase sequence.
Yes.
And usually with chase sequences, it's pretty much a corridor.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's only one way to go. So it's the fact that it's showing you the path down a corridor, which is, I think that's incredibly insulting. And it's needless, in my opinion. Like, if this was in, like, a Spider-Man game where, okay, you're chasing someone down and it's in an open world, makes sense. You know, there's lots of places you can go. The player can just miss a turn and they're lost, game over, etc. So in that context, that makes sense. But here, it just seems like there's only one way to go and it just seems really weird. I mean, if this had happened in an Uncharted game, we'd all just be saying, why is it happening? I mean, like, where can Nathan Drake go? He just goes straight. And that's the thing that really, I think that's the thing that people take the biggest insult to, is that it's in a bloody chase sequence. And it just makes no sense to me whatsoever. Well, I know why they do it, but it just makes no sense either way. The reason why they do it is probably because of people like Darkseid Phil, who... can't play video games.
That's 100%. Like, yeah, Darkseid Phil is the example of somebody who would commit seppuku in Japanese gaming.
Oh my god.
He's a person that didn't understand that green meant parry in Doom the Dark Ages. Like, this Jesus. Is a guy, and this is what these games are tailored to, like, to people like that, so that they don't get lost and they don't feel left out. And it's just getting to the point now where I think he should be left out, because not every game is going to be for him. Like, I mean, like, if he doesn't want to feel left out, then play a Telltale's game.
Yeah.
Like, you honestly can't go wrong with
this. Can we just normalize shame again, please?
Yeah. Again, like, you can't, the whole statement, games are for everyone, is stupid. Like, games, they shouldn't be illegal for some people, sure, but some fucking games are not for you. You know, that's just how it is. You shouldn't be able to play every game. Like, not every, like, a fucking 5-year-old girl should be able to play the same game that like a 50-year-old man can and have the same fucking same proficiency. Doesn't make any fucking sense, you know?
I'll push back on that. I think the minority of games should be something that you can just pick up and do. Unless you're a veteran gamer, that is indicative of having no challenge. And having no challenge pushes you to not better yourself. The whole point of fucking video games and the thing the Souls games reminded us is if you practice and try, you actually get better. You gain competence, you gain agency, you gain skill, reaction time, memory. All those benefits of video games don't fucking come when the game just throws yellow arrows at you to tell you where to fucking go. You actually need to try. And that exceeding and like that competence that you build helps build agency. It helps build self-confidence. It helps build real world fucking skills. And it genuinely, in most terms, makes you a better fucking person. Just trying and getting better at a skill or a hobby does wonders for your personality, your brain, your chemistry, all of it. Fucking all of it. I'm not saying it's better than touching grass, but Jesus fucking Christ.
But also,
what gaming should be.
Okay. Yeah, hold on, I got to say this. Brett, by the way, I think you understand that you're a naturally combative person, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, this is why.
I need reminded of that.
Yeah, you just said, hold on, I got to push back on that. And then you proceed to vigorously agree with my point.
Oh, I know. I was kind of more expanding on it. It wasn't combating you.
I was like, wait, what are you pushing back on? I'm like, we're right here. I think you said it more elegant than I did, but it's like, yeah, we agree. It's like, listen, man, listen, the part of fucking gaming is to get better at it. Face the fucking challenge. Keep going over and over and over and over again. You know, I understand that some people just want to, quote unquote, get through the narrative, but maybe that fucking gaming for you. You know, and that's fine.
Have you tried developing a skill? It's very satisfying.
Yeah,
but I think also what you got to think about what like mainstream like
the money. You know,
it's not that it's not only the money, but it's also it's like they're literally making the equivalent of fast food.
Right? Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's lowest common denominator gaming.
It's easy, it is fast, and you know, like I know, and it's. You know, with you have a good enough time, and I think that's what it's they're going for. But at the same time, I think that they should you know, showing it in fast food mode shouldn't be the way they should show those games, right? Like they should show you playing that game as the way, you know, the way it should be played, right? You know, without all the stupid, you know, a UI and giant arrows and stuff pointing everywhere. It's like, okay, if you put it in easy mode, all this shit's on. You
know? Yeah. I think it's just on by default. I don't even know if you could turn that shit off. We don't know, obviously, but it seems to me if that's what they're showing off, that's probably the base game, you know?
I think it definitely is the base. It's like, it's silly that they don't let it go. They like literally have to put every single arrow and every single thing trying to push you there and like make the main mode, you know, the one that, you know, that you know, people who actually game play, and then you put the easy mode in there for guys like Hip Hop Gamer. I'm kidding.
Shout out
to Hip Hop Gamer.
Yeah,
I mean that's what difficulty sliders are for. Like,
yeah, I have no issue with putting the game in, you know, into that thing. But like what happened to all of that stuff that we learned from like games like Dead Space, where it's like you literally had no UI, you had your little thing, you know, your little arrow that was on the floor, your little guidance arrow if you needed it, you know?
Well, I'll also say, like, between the two, who do you think cares about balance more? Because I don't think people like Hip Hop are going to turn it down to, like, narrative difficulty and then be upset when the game isn't balanced around them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Because some people obviously see the easy mode as, like, what do they call it? As, like, you know, as actually saying it's baby mode. Like, in other words, as opposed to just being, like... Some games have actually changed the easy the thing to like narrative mode or like so it doesn't have the word easy in it.
Right.
But like I got to say that, like, I'm sorry if you're like, I want to play on easy mode, but I don't want you to call it easy mode because that's baby mode. It makes me feel bad. And they change it to narrative. That's twice as infantilizing.
I think Dead Stranding kind of has that where it's like it says that you know, it doesn't say easy. It just says like, are you a preferred narrative or something? I can't remember what it says, but that's one of the ones that I remember doing. And I think even Ghost of Tsushima does it too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
They call it like baby mode or wuss mode or something like
that. They call it like narrative mode.
What was the game that did that? It's like, I think it was fucking Oh my God, why am I thinking blanket?
Maybe Last of Us? I don't know.
No. There was a game that had like basically bitch mode and shit like that. Like, you're a pussy if you're playing this, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it was a Wolfenstein game or Duke Nukem. Yeah.
There was some games.
No, Duke Nukem. It was Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
Duke Nukem 3D.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking of. It would call you a bitch.
There was one game I remember where the mode didn't actually let you play the whole game.
Oh, that's awesome.
You get to a point in the game and it says, you know, turn it to normal mode to experience more.
Yeah, but now fucking you die once. Would you like to turn the difficulty down? Like, get fuck out of here with that shit, you know?
Pragmata does that too.
Oh, yeah. A lot of modern games do that shit. It's realistic. It's like three times in a row. You want to turn the difficulty down? You know?
My favorite part. That makes me so angry. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I remember God of War used to do that.
And it was annoying because, like, the parts I died the most were the fucking crazy platforming ones that they admitted they never play tested, you know?
Yes. Yeah,
So it's like, I don't need to turn the fucking difficulty down. I'm just falling off this fucking ledge because you didn't program it right, you know?
When you're, like, trying to get out of Hades, that portion of the game was stupidest and, you know, it's just awful.
The biggest boss battle in that game was any of those poles you had to, like, walk over, you know, like, battles. Yeah. Like, oh, shit, I'm about to fall off this motherfucker, you know? Mm-hmm. Kratos, you better get some better sandals, motherfucker. You slipping, you know? Anyway, any other thoughts on this before we move on to the next questions?
I mean, again, Wolverine... I feel like it's probably going to just be it's Wolverine with it's a bloody Wolverine games with all the edge, like, sanded off.
Sanded off, yeah.
So, but I mean,
that's what
AAA gaming is now. It's not really gaming. It's just pressing up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll play again, like, just like anything, you know, just like a lot of some of these things, I'm going to play it, whatever.
Yeah.
But not right away. I want to play Control.
Yeah. I'm going to bounce over to make a question because it's also about Wolverine. Let's keep it all together here.
All right.
He goes, hey, boys, it's been a minute since I've asked a question. Forgive me if you guys talked about this before, but does anyone really not like the art style for Wolverine? I think it looks very stiff and plastic. I think that style worked on Spider-Man, but not here. The more I see of this game, the less I like it. That's been one of the other complaints too. Like, they're like, yo, I don't like that costume. It looks stupid on them. And in general, people aren't liking the design of this game.
The costume heels. Come on.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh, that was it. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Oh, that's it. I thought that was a reaction to me.
I mean, kind of.
Oh, come on. Stop interrupting me.
No. I'm mad at the costume heels.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
I'll talk about that one.
Actually, go ahead, man. Say your piece about the art design.
Okay, so for the art design, like, it looks fine for my, but I can see where it's coming. The biggest is the fact that now we're obviously making the characters look like they're actors again. Like, it's more than Spider-Man. Spider-Man at least had a couple of characters that were sort of based on other things. Now it's like the guy who plays Wolverine, that's the guy in the suit. It's the guy, you know, it's the guy in the motion capture suit. And the biggest disappointment for me was, like, I'm like seeing, like, when they say he's saving Nathaniel Essex, and I'm like, that looks like Troy Baker. And I'm like, I hear him talk. Oh, it's Troy Baker. Where is the, hey, listen, we've made a whole new person. You know, I get it. You know, Kojima, like said, cast actors, which I think is the biggest flaw in any of his games, because now it's like, oh, now we have to cast somebody who looks a specific way for this thing, like, then put them in it. I don't care if these guys are in there. Just get me the best person that does the job. And I feel like now it's like we're not being creative anymore. We're not making new characters. We're just taking actors and casting them as them.
Yeah. What else do you guys think about the art style of this game?
It looks like a game, built like a modern game. That's pretty much it. Maybe I don't know. That's pretty much what it feels like, right?
If AI made a game.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like any, it is what it sort of is. It is a game that is probably not taking any huge chances, right?
Yeah. But it does. I agree. It kind of does look very generic, you know, for a modern game. You know, there's no real style to it. You know,
semi-realistic AAA title. That's pretty much the style.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Does anyone have any issues with, and this is something that, that sticks out to me a lot, but I don't see it as a negative or a positive. It's just something that I still haven't made my mind up yet. It's really, the colors are really vibrant. Like they pop a lot. Yeah, like it's like the neons are really neon-y. The, like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not an artist, but.
No, vibrant is a, just, it's a proper term.
Yeah, so it, that to me, I don't know if that's any, if that's also polarizing for people, but to me, it's just something that stood out. I don't.
That's interesting. I got to look more at, that's not something I still got for me. What stood out to me was the costumes. They just look weird for some reason. I can't put my finger. I don't hate them, but I also don't like them either. You know what I mean? But yeah, and then, you know, to the other point, the costume regeneration. Yeah. Here's the thing. On the one hand, it's stupid, you know, because Wolverine heals, not his fucking costume, but at the same time, Triple A game, you can't have a guy running around naked the whole time, you know, because his clothes will be shredded the first 5 seconds, you know?
I mean, the idea they could do is essentially just like the original X-Men Wolverine, where everything, like, obviously Wolverine's pants, and you know, aren't fucking, you know, getting destroyed, right?
Yeah.
But his shirt did, or his
jacket. His wife beater, like, or whatever the hell he was wearing in that game.
He had
game.
A jacket, it was, like, ripped up, then he just, it's not there anymore, you know, like, or his, you know, that game at least had it. In fact, that was the big advancement of that original game by Raven Software, right?
Yeah.
It was like they managed to get a Wolverine that could receive battle damage and not, you know, his, obviously it didn't do like other games would do, whatever, just like reform, you know, after his shirt would get ripped off, his jacket would get ripped off, stuff like that. But one thing I do see with the pushback guys is they're showing shots of the costume regenerating from X-Men Origins Wolverine, not bringing into context that whenever you wear the classic outfits in X-Men Origins Wolverines, those don't have the healing ability. Those things don't have the battle damage ability like the original outfit. So it even tells you this. You unlock them and it says, hey, listen, all these special outfits don't do the same shit that the main outfit does. If you want to see battle damage, you got to wear the original one.
What the fuck?
That's the way it has to do with the way the original outfit, you know, his main outfit is designed, the way the tech that's behind it. So the way where you can get holes in your body and you'll literally see, you know, it reveals his skeleton and all that other shit underneath it. There is some sort of tech that they got going on in there that it only really works with the main outfit, the way that the first one that they programmed. So that's why they said, okay, yeah, if you put on the other outfits, you still see the holes and the battle damage appear in it, but they don't stay and it all just reforms again. But they make this clear to you. At least, you know, there's no, like, they're not making up any sort of like cockamamie, like plot reason why his suit reappears in, like, in the new game, because there's supposedly some sort of silly reason why.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah,
interesting.
I posted a thing about it on my Twitter, where they're in the interview they say why his suit regenerates. I didn't look into it because I think it's dumb, but I suspect it has to do with Nathaniel Ethics. You know, for those who don't know, Mr. Sinister, and if you remember, Mr. Sinister's like varied powers is being able to being shot in a hole in his body and then it just reforms suit and all.
Yeah.
So. My guess is it's something like that shit, just so that
they could at least have the decency to make like hologram lines or some kind of effect that made it.
You know, what was it in Marvel Comics? It used to be unstable molecules, right?
Right. Yep.
You know, so they have dumb, silly plot reasons even in the comics. But I think the thing about it is that their excuse over this. I don't think they could have easily, you could easily have had just Wolverine with his mask ripped off or just have him get damaged to a certain point. You still see the ripped shirt or whatever, just to sort of give people that sort of satisfaction. Like, oh man, I'm taking a lot of damage, you know?
Yeah. That would have been dope. But again, it seems like they're also just taking the easy route with a lot of this stuff. Like that Sentinel battle, just talk about that. Because now people are comparing this Sentinel battle to the one in X-Men Origins Wolverine and how much cooler it was in the old game. Because you're not fighting half a Sentinel. You're fighting a full fucking Sentinel, you know?
Yeah.
And you're climbing the shit. And you're taking to the sky. You're fucking, like, bulleting yourself to him. It's crazy.
Yeah,
in 2010 or something, bro.
Yeah, so, like, in it, like, he's walking around, right? He stomps on the ground, and he tries to, and the main thing is you have to, you know, hit his feet or his ankle in order to get him down onto his knee so that you can jump up and, like, attack his head. Or there are points where he grabs at you, and then you have to, like, you know, force your way out. Pretty much God of War bullshit, right?
Yeah,
where he goes, you know.
Yeah, and then at one point, he flies into the sky. You're fucking trying to get out. You're free, and then you lunge yourself at him. It's just really a dynamic battle. This one isn't doing that, you know?
In that game, the original Origins Wolverine is very much like a God of War. Like you have that moment in God of War where he's like, he's diving down, you know? Like, you have a lot of that sort.
Well, that fight kind of reminds me of the Poseidon battle.
That's right.
Yeah. Started God of War 3. It's so dynamic, like you said, and everything. He's diving through him, and he's, you know, doing all this shit, hooking onto things. You don't want the battle. Like, that was one of my disappointments with Resident Evil Requiem, because that last boss fight with Victor Gideon
It's a fucking tabletop battle.
Pounding the table,
It's crazy, man. So yeah, it is interesting seeing the backlash of the game. Also, we got to bring this up real quick. Now the developers are upset, you know, over the quote unquote onslaught of negativity they're receiving on Twitter. You know, welcome to the internet, pal. You know, that's all I got to say about that. And I feel fine saying that, because all the criticism I've seen hasn't stepped over the edge. Like, if they were getting death threats, I could understand it. It's not even happening. People are just posting memes about how stupid some of this shit is. But it's too much for them. They literally said, it's affecting our mental health. Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
And don't look at it. Like,
your mental health is affecting your mental health.
The thing about it is, like, I feel like these shipped in for, because it's like, listen, what is the first thing, at least in my industry, the first thing they tell you is, don't look at any of the shit that you see online. Because here's the thing. You make something, you put it out in the world. You have no control as to the reception of it. So just let it be. If it doesn't hit with people, then it doesn't fucking hit with. That's it. You know what? Lesson learned, move on. That's what happens.
Yeah.
No. You have no good. Like, if you want to do mind control, that's even more dishonest. Like, where everybody instantly just accepts what you do. Nobody is infallible, and nothing will always be a success. Will always be a success, no matter how much money you put into it.
Yep.
So just let it be. Be like, hey, listen, I'm just going to look at my friend. I'm going to block the fucking Wolverine tag hashtag and just not even pay attention.
It's crazy, man. All right, let's move on. Going back to JamX. If GTA 6 ends up being a disappointment, as we've said here on the show, will people support Dan Houser and Laszlo's new game studio in protest? Probably not. We don't even know what the games are, you know?
Yeah, we don't know. We just know that they're working on something. Like, I don't...
Most GTA fans don't know who the hell Dan Houser is.
They don't know who the creators of Grand Theft Auto are.
Yes. Yeah. I think we answered that question pretty well. They're not, because they don't know who the fuck these people are.
Because they're not like Kojima. Well, their names obviously their names are out there, but the Rockstar people barely do fucking interviews to begin with.
Yeah,
like, you don't see those people.
So yeah, I mean, I don't even know what the name of their studio is, and we're knowledgeable about this shit. I don't even know what the name of the fucking studio is. So you think a regular person is? Nah, son. Go ahead, Brett.
What?
I thought you were gonna say something. It sounded like you were trying to interject.
No. Nope.
All right.
I do have a comment to make.
Oh.
Yes. The people already support Dan Houser because he came out and said that he does not agree with Sony deciding to do physical media. That statement came out the exact same time as all this other stuff was coming out. He is not at Rockstar anymore, so I'm pretty sure he got some supporters off of that alone. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the no dis, no buy crowd, you know, but yeah, pretty interesting.
I wonder if anybody asks him if he'll talk to his brothers.
Yeah, right. His brother. Yeah, because he's still there, you know.
That guy's a wanker. I don't talk to him anymore.
Oh, man. Jumping ahead for another GTA question. George W. Cush, people. Okay, so this question's a little bit longer. Is it me, or have we really reached the most pitiful, pathetic marketing scheme in gaming history with GTA Netflix exclusivity, even if it's only for 6 hours? For me, both companies are pathetic. Netflix just paid I don't know how many millions on this stupidity instead of trying to do something good. And on the other end, Rockstar, a company that has had incredible support from gamers, casual and hardcore, through all their history, just told gamers that they have to pay in order to have a look at an ad for a product they are selling. Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about this on the Thursday show. It's a very strange thing, you know, this little partnership of theirs.
Your assessment of fuck those guys is correct.
Pretty much. Again, you could probably listen to the Thursday show for more of our in-depth thoughts, but does anyone have anything you want to add to this?
No, I mean, it is bullshit. Like, you're telling me that you have $100 game, and you're telling me that also, again, a bunch of people essentially bought sight unseen. They have not seen any fucking gameplay for this thing.
That's right.
And then they lock the gameplay footage behind a paywall, so they could get you to paying for a Netflix subscription.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm going to say this. The perspective as far as Rockstar being kind to their fan base, bullshit, utter bullshit. They have never been like, yeah, maybe back in the day, but if you forgot back in the day, you know, Rockstar had this really, really bad, and Take-Two have had these really big, bad reputation when it comes to, but the only reason why nobody's even like really saying much about this is because they're a success at it.
Yeah.
They're already at, like, they have already passed EA bullshittery.
Yeah. Again, I think we covered this topic pretty well on the Thursday show. So if you missed it, please go check that out, because we do a big segment on it. All right, jumping back over to Meke here. This one's fun. He goes, again, I'm sorry if I missed you guys talking about this. To Meke, here's my question to you. Have you, like, been on vacation or something? Because now that I'm thinking about it, I haven't seen you in the chat for a while either. Because these questions suggest that you haven't listened to the show for a while. So I'm like, ooh, where you been, bruh? So hopefully everything's good, you know? You know, you're one of the real ones. He goes, anyway, are any of you guys picking up the Neo Geo AES Plus? I'm pretty hyped to get mine. To be honest, I'm finally getting to realize my 90s dream of owning a Neo Geo. And yes, I already own most of the launch games on various devices, but who the fuck cares? I'm a gamer, a grown ass man, and done with my money. Oh, man. I don't know if I'm getting it precisely, but if you want a console that only plays physical games, there you go. And this shit is going to be the cheapest console out there. Very interesting. But no, it is crazy that they think about this statement. If you're from the 90s, right? The Neo Geo is currently the least expensive console on the market. That's fucking crazy. You know, no, I get it. And I do think it'll probably sell well enough for people who just like, oh shit, I always wanted Neo Geo. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think this shit plays your old cartridges too.
That's what it does.
So, pretty good stuff, right? Those expensive ass cartridges, by the way.
$100 cartridges.
It's nuts, man. Well, now we have $100 games, so fuck it, you know.
Now we have $100 games, I guess, you know. Yeah.
Weren't those cartridges like $250 back in the day? They were fucking expensive.
It was like $100, $200 for one cartridge.
In 90s money.
And then the console was like in the $100 range.
Yes, $600, $700 was fucking that was like the holy grail console because nobody could afford it. I didn't know a single person that owned that shit.
There was a legit rich people console.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty all much. Because Mania never even went on sale, really. Like,
no.
Like, again, like, you got the 3DO because the shit was on sale, you know, because I was an expensive one.
I don't think I ever saw a Neo Geo go on sale. Like, it existed for years. They had, you know, a CD system and all that stuff. All that shit remained at the same prices that they did. I think the reason why they could have gotten away with that is because consoles weren't their mainstay.
That's right. Like, yeah. The arcades were.
The arcades were. So that's where they were making their real money for. So they're like, hey, if you want to have an arcade at home, you got to pay arcade money.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to pay. You're not going to buy a whole arcade machine, but you're essentially going to be paying for the board.
Yeah, you're paying the board. And it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't emulated technology. It was the actual arcade board, the actual like arcade games. Those were the cartridges that they put in the fucking arcade. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, is anybody here getting this thing?
Nope.
Those boards were like the records of game cartridges.
Yeah. I'm going to guess no one's getting it. But yeah, no, do yours, bro. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I wasn't planning on it. I mean, I emulated a few of those arcade games. You know, I like old Fatal Fury. But some of it, the Namco Classic, some of them, or not Namco, SNK stuff pops up on PSN and I pick it up. But I don't feel the need to own that because I never had Neo Geo when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's too damn expensive. And you just go in the arcade and play a few of those games like World Heroes or whatever.
Hmm. Yeah. And like Dumeka said, like all the Neo Geo games I would have wanted, I own already, you know, like, you know, on PlayStation or my PC or whatever. Yeah. So I'm good on that end. But I'm glad the console is back. That's good stuff, you know?
But I mean, that might be not deferential, but like, that may be the sentiment for a lot of pieces of games. Obviously, there are people who definitely want to be able to own a Neo Geo that can legitimately play their original games. But also, is there enough connection for people? And that's it definitely pushes this console into more of a niche gamer product than like a full acceptance.
Yeah, of it. That's right. Yeah, because not a lot of people own this thing. Pretty interesting. All right, jumping over back to Mr. George W. Cush. How did it, by the way, you could tell he's one of the younger guys because he wants to get our old man gaming knowledge. And I appreciate these questions, man.
Old man gaming.
Keep it coming. Or Unk, as now the kids call old guys, Unks, you know?
Thanks. Okay.
Anyway, how did it feel back in the days when new players enter the console war? Was Sony's entrance a surprise or was it rumored before? Same for Xbox. Did it feel like anyone could enter the industry at this time? Yeah, no, like we said this a couple weeks ago. The 90s was like the golden age when it came to consoles. Everybody was putting out a fucking console. Like, it, again, you know, the 3DO. Go ahead, bro.
I just need to clarify a foundational thing of his comment. Bro. These were the days before game rumors were a thing like you know them. Like, game rumors were the things that came out in the major game publications that we bought in paper form, bound into a thing called a magazine.
Yes.
At a grocery store. So, like, there wasn't, like, insider knowledge on the internet because there wasn't the fucking internet.
There
like
was no internet, you know? By the way, Brett, when you were saying that shit, I just imagine Grandpa Simpson on the hilltop sitting down on the tree trunk with the kids around him, like back in the day, you know? And that's what this segment is.
I was like, bro, your very concept of like what a leak is wasn't even possible back then.
Yeah. Like,
it's so true. You know,
I mean, like, here's the thing, like the what you would get is you get a bunch of people, a bunch of stupid kids on the schoolyard that says my dad works at Nintendo and said this is going to happen, which was a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. So, that's a good way of grounding this. Rumors, the way they exist today, did not exist like that back then. Rumors are basically your friend making shit up.
And then like
let's just be honest, the
only legit ones were like you like in a magazine, like if the magazine it says that, you know, you would have the journalist say there is you know rumors going around that, you know, that Sony is working on a new console. But like I don't think it was also nearly as like far and ahead. And well, granted, they were always 1 month off.
Yeah. But back then it wasn't like a rumor. It's just like one day, hey, Sony's making a console. Yeah. It just came out. You know, Sony's making a console. I mean,
No, I mean, there were things like that where, like, there's a rumor that this is going to happen, but, like, it's obviously it's not like now. Like, the news cycle for any of this sort of stuff is, like, literally as soon as it gets out there. Like,
yeah,
we had to wait a month for it to find out, because an issue would take a month over to, yep, to come out. And then also the thing is that we also never had the coverage that you do now.
Yeah,
like, we never saw what a fucking CES looked like. E3, that was like, you got little pictures
inside and EGM. That was it.
EGM.
Yeah. So it was very different back then. But no, I do remember when the PlayStation was announced, my first thought was, Sony making a fucking console? They make, yeah, Walkmans. Get the fuck, yeah, out of here with that shit.
They make Walkmans and videotapes.
Yeah, know? I was like, yeah.
Well, they make VCRs, so it kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But then you come to find out, like, it was a Nintendo design, you're like, oh.
Oh, that was later.
That was later that we found out about that. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, later you find out it was a Nintendo design. You're like, yeah, oh, in hindsight, years later, it makes sense. But at the time, it was a random fucking pivot.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden, you're like, the Walkman guys?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, okay, sure. But at the same time, it wasn't too surprising. Because then everybody was putting out a system. Fucking, yeah, like, Philips CDI, fucking, you know, who made the 3DO Mania originally?
It was a
Panasonic.
Panasonic, yeah.
But 3DO was a little bit of a different thing because they were licensing their technology to other companies.
That's why I said originally, because there was, how many, yeah, manufacturers were there for that?
There was at least three. There was,
yeah, yeah.
There was the Lucky Gold Star.
I remember the Gold Star, yeah.
There was the Lucky Gold Star, and then there was a JVC version.
Yes, that's right.
Three.
Yeah, so yeah, even though, yeah, again, originally it was like, oh, why are the Walkman guys doing one? But it also made sense. Mm-hmm. Everybody was making a console back then, you know? Yeah. And then as for the Xbox, you know, that wasn't too surprising in the end. Mm-hmm. But again, even though that was like the late 90s, the internet was there, but not the way it is now, you know.
Yeah.
We were still mostly relying on magazines. So it was the same type of deal, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know my initial was like, wait, you're fucking Westerners. You don't make consoles. Yeah. You know, like it didn't work for the other Westerners that tried this shit, you know? Yeah. So that was my original stance on it. So I originally dismissed both of those. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I remember when Tony went heard about the PlayStation, you're like, you were adamant that you were never going to touch a PlayStation.
Yeah, I was a Saturn guy, you know?
Yeah, you were a Saturn guy. And it was like, who's this PlayStation? Who's this the Sony PlayStation people? Like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, remember what I called that? I called that shit the gay station, you know, for many years.
For many years.
I was like, what the fuck? A Sony, yeah. Wait, Barry Burns says a Sony console, a quarter man be tripping.
Yeah, that was it. But I mean, like, it was... Again, like, everybody was trying to get into the console market, but you think about it, in that decade, how many systems, consoles, man. Like you talk of, like, the cycle as it was then, it actually moved a lot faster.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, you know, obviously developing games, but even just companies making new consoles and setting those things sort of,
like, yeah, console cycles back then were like 4 years and that was even long. Sometimes it was three, yeah, or shorter in some cases, but it was generally 3 to 4 years. Consoles, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, like, you know? if you look how many years later that after the Nintendo Entertainment System came the Super Nintendo, it's not that long.
No, it was very fast, especially in America, you know?
Yeah.
That shit came out quick. Same thing with the Super, with the N64, then the GameCube. It was just for every 4 years, you got a new console.
To give you an idea, literally in the same decade, right? Sega Genesis, what was it? The Sega CD, the 3D, excuse me, the 32X. The Sega Saturn and the Dreamcast.
And the Dream, all in the same decade.
All in the same decade.
Yeah, it's great. Technically, Genesis came out in 89, but, you know, we'll fudge that a little bit.
It didn't, 89, but it didn't really.
But if you're an American, you got all that in the same fucking decade. The same decade, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously the NES was already around in the late 80s, but again, you had fucking the Super Nintendo, the Nintendo 64, the Game Boy. You had like two versions of the Game Boy. You know, we're not even talking about the handhelds, how many of these fucking things were coming out. Like, yeah, the proliferation. Yeah.
Like,
go ahead, bro.
For some of us old heads, like, we're all a little bit different, but for me,
that decade came between the years of 5 and 15.
Oh, wow.
It just put a point on how fucking formative that shit was.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, for Manny and I, that decade was 10 to 19. So it was like, you're a different person by the end of the fucking decade, you know?
10 to, right? 19, yeah.
Now you, Chris, you're already an old man, right?
Yeah. And don't forget TurboGrafx was
TurboGrafx.
Yeah, TurboGrafx again. Yeah, NEC. What was that? Yeah,
NEC. Yeah, it was NEC. They did TurboGrafx, Turbo Express, Turbo CD.
Fucking Atari Jaguar and shit. Like,
yeah, all in the same fucking year. It's like, oh shit, all
this Atari's decade. Back, yeah,
and they have a 64-bit console.
Yeah.
The first
64-bit console. I think it really was like two 32-bit chips, but you know.
Yeah, it was a multiple
32-bit chips. I love back then the marketing and shit. Yeah. Oh yeah, like, hey, you know, the Genesis runs games a little bit faster. Call it blast processing, man.
Yeah, we'll give it a name.
Like, there was no blast processor. It was bullshit, you know. Yeah. But you could get away with that stuff back then. But yeah, no, it was definitely a really exciting time because there was just so many possibilities, you know, and gaming was not fucking mainstream. It was still very much a nerdy thing, you know, so that was pretty cool. But you saw the tech, every console you got was leaps and bounds better than the last one. You saw that evolution, right? Like, again, think about what games look like in 1990 versus what they look like in 1999. Fucking, yeah, completely the different world.
They look worse.
They look worse. No, not by 99, though. Not by 99, though. But you're right. There was that fuzzy area in the 32-bit area, you know? Fucking PlayStation games, like, so a little rough.
Like, the first 3D console. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of those foggy Nintendo 64 games.
We literally went from 8-bit to 128-bit in one fucking decade. You never saw shit like that again, bro. It's crazy. Because right after that, everything kind of shrunk. You only really had fucking PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo, right? That was it. And it's, I mean, it's still like that now, you know? We get a console once a decade now, bro.
Also, think about how many Final Fantasies came out in that decade alone.
In that decade alone, because I believe that decade started with Final Fantasy III, right? And it probably ended with like 9. That's a lot of Final Fantasies in one.
3 to 9.
Yeah, 3 to 9. Because yeah, 3. Yeah, that's a lot of. We had so many. The franchises that you love had most of their installments right there in one decade. Mm-hmm. Now you get one Final Fantasy game a fucking decade. You know,
think about like, you know, D23 just happened, and think about this. Kingdom Hearts has only gone to 4.
Yeah.
And Kingdom Hearts started in 2002.
It's crazy. Barry Burns says, but you have to, by the way, remember Barry Burns, an old head like us. But you have to remember that Sony had the advantage in the CD game market because they co-created the CD itself. That's right. That's right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They co-created the CD, and they did have a games division back then too.
They
games
did.
Like Sewer Shark and a bunch of those
stuff. I own that shit.
Video,
I own that shit on fucking Sega CD.
A bunch of those full motion video type of games were made through the Sony, their games division.
Yeah.
So,
and then you know what else happened in 90 something you would never see now. When games went to CD, prices went down. They passed the savings on to us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that shit now.
Another thing, and like, I don't know about if you guys like knew why, but for like back then, it was just Sony games were just magically ubiquitous. Like, they had so many fucking games just all of a sudden, yes, fucking everywhere. It was insane. Just like they were immediately like, they had the presence of Nintendo. Like, it seemed like fucking overnight.
Yeah. It was very immediate, because Sony was smart about the way they marketed their shit. Sega already started this, but Sony took it further, where it was like, the marketing was literally living your world, playing ours, you know, and they were marketing it more towards teenagers instead of little kids, you
like
know,
older, you know, like teenagers, older kids,
yeah,
you know, or adults. You know, like the way that the Sega Genesis was. We're like, we're not a baby console.
Mm-hmm.
Like the
other ones are. Yeah, Sega was one that really. You go ahead, bro.
Oh God! I just realized what I was about to say.
Oh, don't be careful.
Don't be careful. I could tell you, because I was there firsthand, that Blockbuster almost immediately started stocking a massive amount of PlayStation games, which was not common for the other consoles.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Well, yeah, like, we didn't have a shitload of Sega CD games, but we had shelves of PlayStation games.
I mean, it makes sense because, you know, obviously, you know, Blockbuster still had to buy those games in order
yeah.
to be able
well,
to
yeah, and like Sony was such a big distributor because it was already in there with the movies that like it mm-hmm. it made it easy, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, 90s was a magical time in it for gaming, man. It really was. Never going to see that again. All right. This is a leftover question. And Chris, this one's specifically for you because you're the only father here. the question is, what was the first game you made your daughter play, and how did it go?
The first thing she tried was Super Mario World.
Oh, let's go. Yeah. 90s game.
I mean, it was a little rough. She didn't understand the pits and like riding Yoshi or power-ups or anything like that. So
did you leave her in a dark room crying until she figured it out?
No. I mean, you know, it was like, you know, you want that. You get that, get the mushroom, you know, you get the feather to get the cape. And I was trying to explain something, but she was young, so she didn't get it. But she started playing. Like, I left her alone to just play, and she just eventually picked it up. She knew, okay, you got to jump over the hole or you should die and all this stuff. So she started picking it up real fast. But I wanted her to, and Kristen agreed with this, we wanted her to start with older games. I didn't put her in front of like Astro Bot immediately or whatever. We put her in front of Super Nintendo. I didn't go too far back. I wasn't like, y'all, you're going to start with Atari like your old man. You know, it started at Super Nintendo, which is good. And we've shown her a bunch of stuff. She actually likes original Star Fox also on Super Nintendo. She plays that, but it's a little rough and it's a little hard. So she liked when the Switch 2 version came out, like we're like, yeah, this is Star Fox now. it was Super Mario World. That's what I started her with.
Nice. That's a good one. Definitely a good one. And with that, people, we finished up all the leftover questions, so we're good to go.
Yeah.
But we still have more questions for this show. All right, Cuban Boss. Have any of you been keeping an eye on Tides of Annihilation, and what do you think of the preview so far? Rich, I'm going to you first for this one. Have you checked it out at any of the shows you've been to?
That is a phenomenal question, Tony. Yeah, when I went to GDC, it was just mainly conversations about the game. I do believe it's going to have a big presence at Gamescom. I have not seen much of the game, although I did see, I guess it was earlier tonight, they did release the updated model, because we all know that Jennifer English, she stepped out of the role, and they are saying now that she's going to be replaced by the actress that played Grace in Resident Evil Requiem. So that looks very interesting. But no, there's going to definitely be a lot more said about the game at Gamescom. I do believe it's going to be there in some capacity. The game obviously is not coming out until next year. I highly doubt they would try to release it now because there's too many games coming out in the fall. But I definitely expect to hear more about it within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to checking it out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and Tony, I believe that you also was excited with this game when you saw the reveal a while ago.
Yeah, I think that's the operative word, while ago, because I barely remember it, you know. But I do. It's like another kind of Stellar Blade type of game, like some hot girl fighting monsters. Yep. Yeah. I'll keep more of an eye on it now, because it did definitely slip through my mind.
Don't we got a word for those types of games?
Woo games?
Woo games?
I hope it's not.
Woo games.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that.
No, I think I got hyped because it looked more Devil May Cry-ish.
You don't sound very wooed.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long time. Go ahead, Ben.
Speaking of woo games, that other Blade of whatever game, that game has Donnie Yen in it.
Phantom Blade Zero. Yep.
Yeah, Phantom Blade Zero has Donnie Yen in it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Who?
I'm one with the Force Don't Forces with me.
He's Ip Man in the
Ip Man movies. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Apparently Ip Man's fun.
A apparently he has a lot to do it, and he's done a bunch of motion capture of the martial arts and stuff for it. So, interesting.
But yeah, who else is excited about Tithe of Annihilation? Carlos, I think you were talking.
No, just it's a game that I saw and it clicked. So I was like, yeah, I mean, it looks interesting, but probably not something that I'm gonna go out of my way to play unless something new comes out that's different. But we'll see what Rich says. I'm looking forward to what the Coalition says with the K.
There you go, the real ones. All right, anybody else got any thoughts on Tides of Annihilation?
I mean, I probably just want to see more of it. Like I just remember that one or two trailers or something like that, and then that's it. So let's see what it's got.
Yeah.
And plus, people like Resident Evil Requiem.
That's true. Yeah. All right. So there you go. This is an interesting question. Have any of you guys played a preview build of Stranger Than Heaven that you can talk about? How is the combat, and could this be a new IP for RGG Studios? Rich, again, I'm going right to you. Have you played this game?
Now, and have you played as Tupac?
Well, first and foremost, I did not get to play as Tupac yet. I look forward to seeing how that works, because that was very controversial at Summer Game Fest from where I was sitting at. But I will say this. Yes, I did play the combat demo. I see that they decided to release a video on their YouTube that goes into more detail. The combat, I would say, is very interesting because it takes a little bit getting used to. And in the demo in particular, they basically have you try the combat from three different eras, where first it was the hand-to-hand combat, then you're using the weapons and then the knives and stuff. When I got to that third time period where you're using the knife and it's an actual boss fight, that boss was very, very aggravating. But yes, it took a little bit of time to take him down. And of course, it's about the timed attacks and stuff like that. So you got to pay attention to that and get used to it. But I could definitely see the potential, as because I know they're trying to change up how you would do combat in these types of games. I could see it being something that is really good. But I definitely, if you're starting it out for the first time, it takes a little bit getting used to, because you're using the controls a different type of way. But no, what I enjoyed, what I played so far, I'm definitely looking forward to it. No doubt about that. But the question I have, though, however, is... Oh. Mr. Tony Polanco, have you had a chance to check this out?
I have not. Uh-oh. I have not, which is very interesting. But no, I haven't had a chance. This does give me the opportunity to kind of lay down, kind of not the unofficial rule when it comes to previews Rich and I play. Rich, you may have your own rule. My rule is, if I have played a game and I'm not allowed to talk about it, I will say, stay tuned. If I have not played the game, I will flat out say I have not played it. So I'm not going to lie to you guys. Doesn't mean I'm going to say yes, because I don't want to get in trouble, but I'm also very obvious about it. If you go, hey, Tony, have you played a preview of this? And I'll be like, stay tuned. That's a yes. But in this specific case, no, I have not played any of it at all. I don't know if I've been invited to anything. I don't know if they've had any New York events, so... That's probably why I haven't had the chance for it. But I'm good with Sega, so I wouldn't be surprised if they have something in the city. Very rare. Sega, it's very rare to have dedicated shows. I've been to some, but I go to one like maybe every other year. They don't seem to have them here very often. But I'm definitely looking forward to it for sure,
Well, yeah, hopefully there will be opportunities. I saw it at Summer Game Fest, so I definitely could say a few things about it. But yeah, again, that demo that I played, though, it was only the combat. They didn't go into anything about the story, nothing. So no Tupac, Carlos. You have to wait until January to find out more about Tupac, I guess, just like me.
Oh, man.
He's just like us.
One of us.
All right. And the last two questions of the night are from none other than Fergus Mills.
What's up, Mr. Mills?
Carlos, get in here, bro.
Shout out to Fergus Mills.
There you go. All right. What is the last game that you purchased, excluding your current pre-orders, and did it end up being worth the money? As usual, when it comes to these questions, Rich and I are going to exclude ourselves because, we don't buy games generally. But what about the rest of you? I'll go down the line. Yeah, Manny, what's the last game you bought and did it meet your expectations? Was it Tokon?
Yeah, that's probably Tokon.
Yeah, did it meet your expectations?
It was okay. So Tokon, not really.
Yeah.
It's not an awful game. It's not as there's a lot of hand holding that I sort of have to get over. So if I were to give it a number, I would probably give it something like a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Talk about that. Beast of Reincarnation, which I've also pre-ordered and bought at the same time as Marvel Tokon. I will say for that one, that one was exactly at my expectations, and it also gets a 7 out of 10.
The IGN score.
Yeah, IGN score. Beast of Reincarnation, there's two. And Brett mentioned this on the episode that I mentioned that I had it, where it's like, you know, because of the fact that it is a sort of first foray into the, you know, AAA game space that is not on Nintendo, a locked console. I'm giving them a little bit more passes because they've never done this. So, and you know, things are looking good. You know, they're taking you know feedback from the fans, or not fans, but from players. And, you know, and improving things. They've already improved a lot of the issues that have happened from before, like, you know, the text size, and then also some of the issues with switching buttons around. So they're fixing it up. So I'm, you know, it's a fun game. I enjoy the combat is definitely the strongest point of the game. Yeah.
Right. Carlos, what about you? What's the last game you bought and did it meet your expectations?
Well, that is a phenomenal question. Because it was also Marvel Token.
Ooh.
But I have yet to play it because I bought it for the PC and I heard it was no bueno.
No.
I'll just wait for like a month and it'll probably get fixed, hopefully. And then I'll give it a shot. But yeah, so I don't have an opinion. Before that it was 007 First Light, and that definitely lived up to the expectations.
There you go. Yeah, that's a fantastic game. All right, Brett, what's the last game you bought and did it meet your expectations?
That's tough to say. I've been doing my homework a lot lately because for like the last year I've been broke as fuck. So I've been doing a lot of my homework ahead of time. I'd say, and I don't mean this is a weird one because Kingdom Come Deliverance, but also not, because I wasn't expecting it to be as good as the second game is purported to be. So it's one of those, like, I got to play the first one and I'm expecting it to be kind of janky, and it is exactly what I was expecting. So it's not really a great answer, but it's the best I got.
Yeah, it works for me. Brian, what about you, man?
I was interested in Brett's answer. Yeah, I was not disappointed. And I really tried to guess what game Carlos purchased last, and I was completely wrong because I had no idea. With me, it is Crimson Deserts and Live Up to Expectations. Somewhat so, yes.
Oh.
I haven't finished it.
Excuse me.
So I can't truly say yes or no. But I think it did answer the questions that we had prior to launch, which is this game real and does it have all these things? And so far, it's yes and yes.
Nice. And Chris, what was the last game you bought, and did it live up to your expectations?
I guess, what was it, Star Fox?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was quite good. Now, I played the Star Fox 64. I didn't really play the original one. But Christian's a big Star Fox nerd. She was telling me, like, oh, they did this like this or whatever. I'm like, I don't know any of that stuff. So I was like, which planet do I go to? Oh, the hard path is this way. And, but I got to say, they did a great job. The graphics look great. The gameplay is solid. What I'm most impressed about was the visuals and the acting. They had these little cutscenes together, and they added more lore in there with his father and stuff. I was like, I was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed with the work they put in that game.
Nice. All right. And then the final question of the night from Fergus Mills. Are there any games that you currently play with the specific purpose of relieving stress? Very interesting question.
I just picked up the Yakuza Pirate game for that exact reason, and I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, that's a very, that's appropriate for that. I've said this before. I don't have a, I forgot, there's a term for it, but like a forever game, a game that you always go back to. I don't have one of those just because I constantly have to play new shit. You know, so I don't have one of those. And I'll be honest, if I'm really stressed, I'm not trying to play any fucking video game or do much of anything, you know, other than like, you know, I don't really do like all the shit that makes me happy. I can't do while I'm stressed out, you know, especially not fucking video games. So I don't really have one of those. But does anybody here do you have one of those? You have a stress game?
I'll say Valheim and Palworld are both great, great options for that. Not for you, Tony.
Yeah.
But just in general.
There you go.
Stress relievers. I mean, to be honest, it would be a game that, it's not something, it's weird. It's like, I don't usually, some games I'll go back to, some games won't, but it's not like for certain stress things. But I do have games that I like to play when I don't want to get to like plot and stuff. Like sometimes I play games late in the night a lot. And sometimes I don't want to deal with the plot part of games where I have to like comprehend what's going on, you know, or have to pay attention. So I'll play like, that's what I see Marvel Tokon is the, not a comfort game, but a game that I want to, you know, an idle hands game, or in other words, something to play that doesn't, that has just enough plot to get you along, but not so much to where you need to be like, oh my God, I need to think about all of that. Yeah,
definitely ain't Death Stranding, you know.
No, it's not Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Death Stranding's a stressful game.
It can be. It absolutely can be. Here's the thing, and that's a good point. Video games are fucking stressful. You know, they really can be, but that's a part of the appeal, obviously, like we talked about in the earlier segment. But to be honest, here's the thing. The thing with me is it's actually kind of rare I get stressed. I'm mostly like good, you know, like the last time I got like stressed, I don't even know if this is the proper thing, was back when my mom died. You know what I did to relieve stress? Go out to the park and hang out and just be with nature. That's what I, even though nature consists of a fucking, you know, L train running by, but you know, it's New York, right? That's what I do if I ever have to quote unquote relieve stress. Go outside and just be with your thoughts, you know?
For me, when it was the stressful in 2020, it was talking with you guys.
Hanging with the homies, playing
a game, you know, a multiplayer game with like me when we were playing, Bloodborne getting the platinum for Bloodborne on my end.
Good times.
Playing, what was it? Streets of Rage. The very simple sort of beat 'em up, playing with Tony and finishing that game off. It was a good time.
Yeah. Get myself a pizza, you know, some happy food, drinks with the homie. Shout out to Jeffrey. Speaking about the homie, you know, Jeffrey is the friend I have the easiest access to since we both live in the city. So, you know, Jeff, you know, you already know about that, bro. You know, going to Barcade and shit after some of the bullshit we both had to deal with, you know, in 2024. But yeah, games are too stressful for that, man. games are not there to relax for me.
I mean, and I think that's, to go back to our original topic,
but that's part of the point.
One, yeah, like that had the reason, probably the reason why Wolverine is essentially the way it is because, you know, they don't want to create any of that sort of thing. They just want it to be, you know, comfort food in game form, you know.
Man, chop, that's some true up shit right there, bro. Fuck.
You know, you chop shit up, you know, you don't need to think too, you know exactly where homeboy's running. It's it just does it. It could be that in itself.
Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah. But by the way, this is the part I want to say during that. I guarantee you, because yes, when you're running after that character, you are like running across rooftops. I guarantee you there's invisible walls everywhere. You probably can't stray off the path even if you wanted to. I could be dead ass wrong, but that's my suspicion. You know, going back to your earlier point, Brian, about how you're going down a fucking tunnel. Yeah, it has the facade of being open, but I highly doubt it is, bro. You know? Just like Final Fantasy 13. We're not going to talk about that. But yeah, does anybody else here have any games they play when they're stressed out? Is that even a thing you do?
I wouldn't say stressed out. I'll go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was going to say, like, sometimes I just mess around with No Man's Sky.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know, just to take my mind off stuff, like, you know, just like try to build bases. Not the latest thing is I try to construct custom Corvette starships, and then you can break the game and like turn stuff oddly, so you can make like a Star Destroyer or something. Like I always watch these videos, like fuck with it to get stuff to clip through each other and shit. That's you funny. Can make some pretty interesting shit. So yeah, I just messed with it.
Chris is on my track.
But yeah, it's like just very relaxing. I would say just that, like that. Like I used to play a lot of GTA Online. These guys know I played.
Oh
that,
yeah,
that was stressful.
Hey, Chris, you want to play some Valheim?
I never played Valheim.
If you like clipping things into things, oh boy,
that's funny, man.
Have you ever seen a Viking sunset? You will.
Nice. All right, man. I think that's gonna do it for us. But before we do the final plugs, even though this isn't 100% gaming related, I'm bringing it up because she was in a video game, so I'll be able to do it. But it's really just to give respects. This is shocking. Hayden Panettiere, you know, saved the cheerleader, saved the world. She's fucking dead. She passed away.
Whoa.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she 36 years old. She passed away. We don't know why, how that hasn't been out there, but. I think it's appropriate to bring it up because we all watched Heroes back in the day. We played until dawn, you know? Yeah. And generally I've always liked her, you know, I've never seen her say any bullshit, or anything crazy. Very sick, but it's the age that fucks me up, you know? I'm like, damn, 36. That's crazy. So yes, rest in peace to her and, condolences to the family, man. That's crazy. You know, I saw that shit. Yeah. You know, go ahead, Rich, if you have any thoughts.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, TMZ confirmed it was a car crash.
Oh, fuck. I had a suspicion it was something like that, you know? You know, and not to make light of anything, because I already saw the reports flying. I didn't believe it until TMZ reported, because they're always the ones that are always on the ball about this shit. So when I saw TMZ did, I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. Because at first I'm like, what? Get the fuck out of here. You motherfuckers are crazy, you know? But, yeah, wild stuff, man. A car crash. Ugh, man. But, yeah, rest in peace, you know? All right, and now we're going to make an awkward transition to plugging stuff. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Okay, so... Yes, Mr. Adam Vale, Mr. Carlos Romero, and myself, we have been recording I Am Negan, The Walking Dead, Dead City. That is currently live, our latest episode. It will be on the Coalition website as well shortly, but it's currently on the YouTube. As for the rest of this week, there is a couple of things that I have been playing. I can't really talk about anything yet, but I will be able to talk about some stuff soon. So if you have been looking at the games coming out, chances are, hey, I may or may not have played some of these things. So just stay tuned for coverage.
Yeah, there you go. And Manny, what you got?
Yes, sir. Dinner date coming out in October, just in time for Halloween, October the 7th. Oh, be at your, I had it upside down. Dinner date, October number 27, October 7th, cover, by Joanne Starr, Carter Randolph, and myself on Colors. Also got a Ninja Turtles cover coming from, TMNT Journeys books. So cover by Kari Randolph and myself. And also, you know, keep an eye out in the universe, let's just say. Mm-hmm. I can't say what's happening or when it's happening, but I'll say there's something coming.
All right, good stuff. And yeah, man, that's going to do it for us. We are now, even though we've already been there for like the last few episodes, we are officially on the road to 600 people.
What the fuck?
Crazy. So yes, September 3rd, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, you know, Twitch and YouTube, we will be celebrating our 600th episode, and we will have guests. I already talked to the fellas about who I want, and I think that'll be fun for you guys. And we're also going to try to get a guest for the AMA special that Sunday. So that'll be fun. We rarely have guests on Throw Down Your Questions, so that'll be a lot of fun, especially AMA. Excuse me? Carlos's favorite shit right there, you know? So start thinking of some fun stuff for that. But obviously that's going to go down. Let me look it up. So September 3rd for the... for the main show, and then that would be the 6th for the question show. So yeah, we're on the road to 600, man. Throw down, you know? All right, so we are out of here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube, join the Discord, and check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
I'm so disappointed. I never got to meet Tara Strong at a con.
Oh, man, there's some wild shit going out there. Brian, I feel the same way. I'm like, really? Damn.
Anyway. She is such a great voice actress.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. All right, guys. We shall return on Thursday. Later.
Laters.
Peace.